little Episcopal church in Braintree, Massachusetts. And I was very serious about going to church. Loved going to church, I'll have to admit it. And as a youngster, I was an acolyte in the Episcopal church. Anybody know what that means? Acolyte, altar boy, altar girl. It means in those more traditional churches, more liturgical churches, you get to kind of dress up. I think that's probably one of the things I really liked about it. You got to dress up, and then you would be part of the procession. We don't do that in this particular tradition here. But we would process in with the cross that then we then put in a holster in the back, and process in with candles and the choir and the robes and the sometimes even the Bible would get carried in. And it all would start with the lighting of the altar candles. There was always more. We're pretty simple here, but there was always more. Now, I was too small to carry the cross yet. I should have brought the Catholic cross out. We'd give a little gift then. But I was too young, but it was my aspiration. I know, but true. But I had to start with lighting the altar candles. Now, this one we don't use anymore because it got broken years ago by some enthusiastic person trying to light the candles the wrong way. So you may not recognize this. But this is what you use to light candles when you're up on the altar and hard to reach. And there's usually a bell over here, which is actually the snuffer part. But over here, there would be this wick, and it would come out. And you would use that to carry over and do all the candles. This kind of sounds vaguely familiar. You've probably seen it in a movie if you haven't actually seen it anymore. Now, the problem with this is in order to light the candles, you have to light this. And in order to light this, you have to be able to light a match. Now, I was a little kid. I don't remember how old I was. And my parents had always told me, don't play with matches. So, here I go, get to a church sanctioned event, and I can't light the matches. Not only can I not light the matches, I mean, look at this visual. This is difficult. I'm short a hand. So, you know, and you've got this long robe on, and so you're trying to figure out how to do this, I can't tell you how stressed out I was to light the match. I mean, and you've got these billowing sleeves, and it's just, I'm the firstborn child, safety first, it is a recipe for disaster. I'm terrified. I hit this incredible roadblock. I said, Lord, I want to serve you, but I can't light this match. And we laughed. I mean, I remember as a kid, small kid, you know, 8 years old, just being absolutely traumatized. You know, thinking I got to figure this out on my own, and everybody else is hustling, bustling, getting ready, and can't start the service, so you lit the candles in front, you can't start the procession, I mean, the whole thing has come to a screeching halt, and then I get in the bathroom having a meltdown. Has anybody ever had a meltdown? I had a meltdown. I never did figure out the matches thing terribly well. Now, the whole thing about flame on your fingers is just really kind of a But I do remember in that moment praying very earnestly, saying, Lord, I don't really want to serve you, but I hit the wall here, even as a little kid. I said, I don't know what to do. And I do remember in that moment the Holy Spirit calming me down, giving me courage to ask for help, one of those other important people around, the courage to say, hey, can you help me with this? The wisdom to get my parents to buy me a lighter, and the comfort to know that it was okay. And I remember that prayer because I was really fraught. I mean, I was really frazzled. And I remember that spirit of calm. And I know that it came from God because I was beyond the pale. And I'll have to remember that. And he did find a way for me. He said, you know, get your parents to buy you a light. I never did figure out the matches. We didn't have these cool things in those days. Remember, we were old. They hadn't really invented these yet. These are cool. These are cool. There he is. So the Holy Spirit time went on. I served. served in the church. I did all kinds of things. High school, early high school, 9th grade, 10th grade, I can't remember, somewhere in there. I was actually part of a Baptist youth group, and it was in that setting that I made what some of you might find is really kind of more formal commitment to God. I grew up with God. I always believed in God, but made that commitment to follow God, to serve God, to recognize Him as my Lord and Savior. And then probably a year or so later, I'm back in the sanctuary of the Episcopal Church, and we have a weekend retreat at the Episcopal Church. And during that retreat, I learned a lot of things. And one of the things that happened during that retreat was something called baptism in the Holy Spirit. I was anointed with oil. I was filled with the Holy Spirit. I spoke in tongues for the first time, right there in my little staunch Episcopal church. It was the heart, the highlight of the, what was called, known at that time as the charismatic renewal. It might sound familiar to some folks. But being introduced to the Holy Spirit and the third person of the Trinity was very real to me and very powerful to me. And has been powerful ever since. I don't know how I could do what I do without that being kind of first and foremost powerful. For those of you who were here last week, we started a series on, you know, do you know this Jesus? And kind of the broader sense of who Jesus is, kind of expanding our sense of who Jesus is, getting a fuller picture. Last week we focused on the Jesus that saves us from a future hell by his death in the past. The Jesus we're most familiar with, the Jesus on the cross. This Jesus today, the Jesus that I met in my home church, also saves us by his powerful presence, but in this present moment. I want to talk today about Jesus being present in this present moment in your life. And how many of you are comfortable with that Jesus? The Holy Spirit in you, Jesus. The Spirit of Jesus that lives in believers. And I don't want you to just kind of say, oh, yeah, I got that. No, really. Slow down for a second. And really take this in. Hear what I read in the scriptures. If it didn't blow your mind, then I read it too fast. Jesus says, if you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another, can be translated advocate, comforter, counselor, who will never leave you. And he is the Holy Spirit, and he leads you into all truth. Now, this is one of the tricky things about the Holy Spirit. There is a condition for receiving the Holy Spirit. Did you hear it? If you love me, obey my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will send you his Spirit. Loving Jesus by doing what he told us to do puts us in a place of being willing and able to receive the Spirit. I don't know. Perhaps it's like a little child with its parents. So, you know, what's the name? Little child. Maybe it's like a teenager with a parent. And I said, if you want to use the car on Friday night, you've got to do your chores for the rest of the family. In other words, if you want to be a part of this part of the family, then you have to be a part of this part of the family. Jesus brings the gift to those who have shown their intention to be a part of the family by how they live and how they act. And then he goes on, he says, the world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. The world are people who do not live a love for God by obedience. And they can't take him in because they don't have the eyes to see him. They don't know what to look for. The Holy Spirit doesn't even make sense to this part of our population. The Holy Spirit doesn't even make sense if you're not interested in obeying God, following God, and loving God. So it's not that God ever withholds his Spirit. Just a lot of people just aren't really ready or interested. And then he says, but you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. He's talking to his disciples. You've got to remember that. And he says, he's basically saying, I'm here with you now, with you, beside you. And later, I will be in you. In you. No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. Soon the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Since I live, you also live. When I am raised to life again, you will know that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I him in you. Not just with you. Okay? Not just with you. In you. You are with your spouse now. And there's this, if you are married, you're with your spouse, and that's a mystical thing. It was an amazing thing. But unless you are a mother that birthed a child, you really have, and even we don't really totally get what needs to be in. But that's the closest we're going to get. In. And then Jesus says the whole thing again, which tells you how important this is. He said it again. Those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. Again, he's saying, the Holy Spirit comes on the heels of loving me and obeying me and following me. And then Judas, not the Iscariot one, says, why are you going to reveal him to the whole world? Right? And he says, all who love me will do as I say. My Father will love them, and we will come and make our home with each of them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey me. Jesus is not being stingy. He is not being difficult. The Holy Spirit only goes where it's welcome to go. Okay? And there's this little word that happens in this verse that I don't want you to miss. It's a two-letter word. Two-letter word. I'm going to say it again and see if you can catch it in this sentence. My Father will love them, and we will come and make our home with each of them. Two-letter word is? We. This is probably the closest we get. For those of you who was wondering about the Trinity and the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, this is one of the big verses for that. We. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We. And then he says, remember, I'm telling you these things now while I'm with you. But when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything. In other words, I'm with you now, but later, we will be with you. And I'm leaving you with a gift, he said. Peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So do not be troubled or afraid. The Message puts it another way, which I like. He said, this is my parting gift to you. Peace. I don't leave you the way you're used to being left, feeling abandoned and bereft. So don't be upset, and don't be distraught. That peace. Did you know that many Christians do not expect the Holy Spirit of God to be active in their lives? You know what? Many, the vast majority of people, I mean, really, as people would define themselves to be a Christian, they believe that by dying, Jesus saves them from their sins, and that someday, because they are righteous before God, they will go to heaven when they die. I think we've all got an agreement on that. But for too many people, that's the end of the story. And then they go about their lives, and they don't expect anything else. They live life as if they're on their own to make the best of it until someday they get to go to heaven. But for other Christians, myself included, find God to be present here and now. And that God just cares a lot about the decisions that I make and the way I treat others. That God lives within me even as I live in God. And that these Christians believe that the Spirit of Jesus can be experienced, if you will, one step above the normal. You know, one step beyond what you might think. Do you ever have this happen to you? Do you ever find yourself talking to somebody, maybe counseling with somebody, it could be a friend, maybe it could be your child, but you're counseling with someone, and all of a sudden you hear yourself say stuff you never thought of before? Or you say something, and it's so wise, you know that you didn't come up with it. Or that person will say to you, oh my gosh, that is so helpful. When that happens, that's the Spirit of God in you and working through you. I had experienced recently. I have a really good friend whose son has just told her that he believes he is gay. And he is confused, and he is distraught, and she is bereft and destroyed and kind of waded into this situation trying to bring the presence of the Holy Spirit. And there's been some occasions where both of them just kind of turned to me and said, wow, you know, like lights are kind of turning on inside their heads. And I know that it's not me. I don't have much to offer to that situation. It's a heartbreaker. But the Holy Spirit has a whole lot to offer to that situation. The other thing that happens to me, and you probably don't get a chance to have this happen to you, but maybe it does. I'll say something here on Sunday morning. And occasionally a worshiper will come after the service and say, that's just what I needed to hear. How did you know that's just what I needed to hear? Were you speaking right to me? And I'll be like, no, I didn't know what you needed, but the Holy Spirit did. And maybe it was something I actually said, but I find that more often than not, I probably never even actually said it. It was what they heard the Spirit said directly to their heart. And I never said those words at all. That's the Holy Spirit that's moving. And for those of us who are open to living in this Spirit realm, we have to challenge ourselves to listen for God's voice, to take the active presence of God seriously in our midst, and to act upon what we believe we have heard, unless, of course, it's immoral, illegal, hurtful, sinful. There are certainly things that we can filter to make sure we're not talking. The dark side of this whole Holy Spirit thing, dark side, as you can imagine, is pride. Sometimes it is easy to mistake the voice of God and think it's, it is easy to kind of think that our voice is the voice of God. We want to be so careful. So careful. Pride is definitely the dark side of all this. And you've probably seen the damage done when someone claimed to hear from God. I'm not going to get into that, but I think enough is enough. One of the things that I have noticed is that people who are willing to receive this Jesus, this face of Jesus, this aspect of Jesus into their lives, have a joy, a vitality of spirit, and a serenity that is like nothing on this earth. You know when you've met someone who really lives in the Spirit of God. There's a serenity about them. That God is present. They don't need to be in charge. They can really trust. That there's a vitality that God is present. And they really just look for moments to join Him in what He's doing. And I think there's a joy. A particular kind of joy. Like, God is here, what more could I possibly need? And that willing to be in the moment. Now, you've probably heard some words, some of which may already be kind of freaking you out or wondering what's going on. There are some words that we used, particularly back in the 70s and 80s, to talk about this experience. Some were helpful and some were not. You heard of words being called being baptized in the Holy Spirit, or being filled with the Holy Spirit, or being indwelled with the Holy Spirit. I don't know what the words are in right now. But I do think that God invites us to allow His Spirit to dwell in us fully. And the Scripture does indicate that there are times when we're called to invite the Holy Spirit to fill us. When you were baptized, if indeed you were baptized, there was probably some kind of prayer that was said about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit coming to you and abiding with you. I think in our thing here we said, indwelling and filling us through the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit came to indwell you, came to live in you. But there are times within our lives when we need that Spirit to fill us again. And I was trying to think of some analogies that might, analogies are weak, but they're the best that we can do. you ever been to a waitress at a restaurant? Waitress at a restaurant, you're drinking your coffee, you get down to about this much left in your coffee, and the waitress says, comes and says what? Can I warm that up for you? Can I warm that up for you? And then they pour more coffee on the top and it warms it up. The cup may be half full and cold after sitting on the table for a while. When she pours the new coffee in, she refills it and warms up the cup. And our spiritual lives can get like that. They can just get cold and empty. Doesn't mean we don't love Jesus, but, you know, we need that kind of revitalizing. And God will do that if we ask. I also think kind of like about vitamins in our bodies. Some vitamins our bodies will store, and some they don't store. Like, and I'm not a doctor here, but my recollection is like potassium, you don't store all that well. So that's why you like to eat bananas. But then there's other vitamins that you can kind of build up a little bit more. And it's not a perfect analogy. You'll like this image, and this is where I'll finish. D.L. Moody, great evangelist, held up a glass. And he asked this question of the congregation gathering. He said, how can I get the air out of this glass? Everybody's looking. What do you think they said? How do you get the air out of that glass? Can't really shake it out. Somebody said in the back room, you can suck it out with a pump, because well, that would shatter the glass. How do you get the air out of the glass? And all he did was this. He explained that the victory in the Christian life is not accomplished by sucking out sin here and there, but being filled with the Holy Spirit. For those of you who are struggling with sin, wanting more from God, you cannot eliminate sin in your own life on your own. It's the Holy Spirit that changes us. And we must be willing to be filled again and again, to release and let go of our sins, our pride, our ambitions, our selfishness. All you have to do is to be willing. You can't suck it out yourself, but to be willing. Would you like to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Are you willing to let go? Are you willing to release? If so, just tell him that and allow him to fill you. If you're not willing, if you insist on having all of your stuff still and allowing the Holy Spirit to fill you, you want to see what happens? So it's not something that we do, but it's something that we have to be willing to allow. It's quite a challenge. For those of you who find this interesting and find this compelling, there is an insert, it may not have made it into your bulletin, but on the back table, something I didn't write about receiving the Holy Spirit more and more into your lives from a reputable person. About receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. And I'm actually just going to pray a prayer inviting the Holy Spirit into our lives, and to the extent to which you're able and willing to have that Holy Spirit fill you, that prayer will be real for you. But I just thought I wanted to give you some more information on it, because I knew it would be new to some of you. Would you join me in Lord, now we are so thankful for the comforter, the counselor, the guide, the advocate, the giver of wisdom, the friend. So many names for the Holy Spirit. And we're thankful that you want to fill our lives with your presence. We don't entirely understand it, but we know that it's a gift from you. God, we're tired of trying to do this on our own. We're tired of trying to kind of muck up the energy and the courage and the willpower on our own. Lord, we accomplish so much under our own strength. And yet there you are, ready to transform our lives, that we may live in your strength and in your courage. Lord God, open up our hearts to this Jesus. Jesus that says, I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. God, as your children, we desire to be an instrument for your kingdom. And we'd like you to manifest through our lives. We'd like to receive the promise of the Holy Spirit. We'd like to know that power, the power of your resurrection that would work in us and through us. To empower us, to fill us to overflowing, not for our own sakes, but for the sake of the world. Lord, we would hold nothing back from you. We want to be in a place where we can let go of our selfishness, our pride, our ambitions, our agendas. So God, work your gifts in us and through us so that your Holy Spirit would be full to overflowing in our lives, that it would change not only our lives, but change the world in which you placed us. God, it's that Holy Spirit that leads us to pray. And it's that Holy Spirit that would accomplish by your word change in our lives and the lives of others. So God, you heard some of our prayer requests today. A lot of them weren't even ever spoken out loud. But you know how our hearts reach out towards Eric's team on Catan and Lucky the Cat and Elise and Hilda and Louise and Jerry and Chris. Reaches out to those who are cold. Reaches out to our children. That they may grow and follow you. And Lord, we turn our hearts to this nation and we add our prayers to the thousands, even millions, praying for its welfare, for its leadership, for its guidance. And as words are spoken and vows are made tomorrow, may truth be present there, and your Holy Spirit, and a dedication to follow where you lead. God, we are grateful for the country we live in, but we recognize that your kingdom is much, much bigger than that. So Lord, be with those around the world who are seeking to speak your word of truth and love. And may we together be movers and shakers within your kingdom. Unite us with your saints as we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom,